Larry is one of those persons who, in a long line of faithful servants of God, willing to be involved in God's work in a unique way. Mary was a young lady, probably a young teenager, most likely, but she received instruction from an angel who said, Mary, you're going to be with child. And the child that you're going to bear will be the Savior, the Son of God. You call his name Jesus. Can you imagine Mary, young teenager, soon to be a mother, who on one silent night, many, many years ago, the scripture tells us, gave birth to the Christ child. Now just imagine with me for a moment, like any mother, taking that baby in your arms, holding that child, and reflecting upon everything God had said to you about what this moment would mean. And like any mother, I'm sure Mary snuggled with her baby, kissed him on the forehead, shed tears of gratitude, thanksgiving for this new addition in her life. This child, the Christ child. And I'd like to direct our attention for just a few moments to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And there are three verses I'd like to highlight this evening that contrast for us the responses of Christmas. Now, I take the Bible to be at face value that Luke is recording for us an event that actually happened, and he is recording it for us from his perspective, by means of the Holy Spirit, as he recalls it, as he understood it, as he got information about it, and put it in his book for us to review tonight and reflect upon the message he would like to get across to us. And in the verses I'd like to highlight, are verses 18 through 20. And in verses 18 and 20, we see one set of responses, kind of a corporate response, in contrast to Mary's very private response. And so I'd like to deal with the text that way this evening. Take a look for a moment at the corporate response. What was it all about to the larger gathering of people, this birth of this child to this Mary? Well, verse 18, Luke says this, and all who heard it, that is, heard the testimony of the shepherds, about the birth of this child announced by the angels, wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds went back, that is, back to their fields, back to their friends, back to their town, and they were glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. In other words, they went back and shared everything that had happened just as it was told it would happen. They were told something, and it happened exactly the way they were told. Now, let's dissect this response for a moment. The response of everybody who heard the testimony was wonder. What it says in verse 18. And this idea of wonder and astonishment and surprise is all throughout the birth event. Starting in Luke chapter 1, when Elizabeth heard that she was pregnant with John the Baptist, to Mary's announcement to Mary that she was going to birth this child, to the actual birth of the child, wonderment and amazement and astonishment from everyone. And this is all throughout the birth narrative. It tells me that everybody recognized, because of announcements from angels and because of fulfillment of scripture, that something unique had happened. That doesn't mean they all understood its implications or it connected all of the dots. But something unique had happened, and they had identified that with a spirit of astonishment and wonder, as they couldn't quite get their arms wrapped around what was going on. The response doesn't suggest that everybody believes that here is the Messiah. Rather, it reflects the surprise at God's marvelous work, that God's up to something, even though we can't connect the dots. and see the ultimate answer on the horizon. Now for Mary, well, we're going to see in a moment that she kind of kept things in her heart as she reflected on the events in a completely different way than all the hearers did, outside of her sphere. But Luke is telling us that the report was circulated and it caused a stir. And all who heard it wondered at the things that were told by the shepherds. Now, I think it's interesting that God begins this whole event with his son being born in a stable, actually laying in an animal's feeding trough. And God chooses to bring shepherds, smelly, stinky, sweaty, probably ripped and torn robes, shepherds, the news. And he sends them to verify the news, and through their testimony about this child in a freak feeding trough, these shepherds go out into the field in their town to share the news. Well, I think I would have marveled too. You have shepherds coming to you saying, hey, isn't this what happened? Isn't this the fulfillment of Scripture? And you have shepherds announcing it. I mean, I'd be waiting for the priest to tell me. I go to the neighboring synagogue on Sabbath and hear the news that the Christ child has been born. But no, God uses shepherds. And they bring the announcement. It causes a stir, just as it did with King Herod when he heard from the wise men a couple of years later when they finally traveled. But it's not certain that he's telling us that everybody heard it, but those who did in that vicinity wondered at the news. I think their ears were tickled, but not necessarily their hearts. The news is spread. But notice something about the shepherds, because I think something clicked with these shepherds that may not have clicked with the larger sphere that had heard the news in verse 20. And the shepherds went back, it says, glorifying and praising God. I think that tells me something about these shepherds, because they're the most unlikely people to receive the news and or to believe the news. And yet what we have here for us is the heart of God once again revealed. Jesus came for the outcast, the downcast, the ostracized, those without hope. He came for those who were sick, not those who thought they were well. And I think exemplified in the shepherds who believed and their response is a representative of the entire human race. While others mocked, while others tried to kill baby children, others yet believed. And if you think about Jesus' ministry, we have a centurion who believes over there. And then we have a blind man who accepts over there. And we have a woman with an issue of blood who seems to be transformed over there. It's never the crowd. Never the mass of people. It's the persons who have a heart after God. And Jesus comes along and nurtures that and they come to believe. Well, that began in his birth, even as the Christ child, not even beginning his ministry. We see these shepherds representing believing mankind from the corners, you know, believers in obscurity who come to faith in Christ. Beginning with these shepherds. And they returned and shared the news by glorifying and praising God for all who heard and saw them as they shared the news. This, by the way, produced some tremendous joy in the spirit of these shepherds. So what's the significance of this response? Well, here's some thoughts for you. One thing I would say is that with the angelic exchanges that the shepherds received when the angels came to them and said, hey, you need to go verify this news in Bethlehem, with the angelic exchanges is heaven's testimony to these shepherds on earth. Simple folk, just simple folk who represent humankind. think that's one thing Luke wants us to see as he pens these words for us. But he also wants us to see the child that they also share. The angels share their joy. The shepherds share their joy at the fulfillment of God's word, that the Christ child was born. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, you can trace, sometimes it gets a little thin, you know. I like to use hiking analogies, and sometimes hiking trails are real thick, and then sometimes you're on a hiking trail, and you're trying to say, man, where did this go? You beat your way through the brush, you bang on path, so you find the trail, and it's a little wider, and you're a little more secure. Well, throughout the Old Testament, that's how it was. There were these moments when you could really trace the testimony of the prophets that the Christ child, the Messiah, is going to come. And then sometimes a little obscure, you know, you read through a passage in Amos, or maybe you pick up one in Micah, and then it picks up again. In other parts of the Old Testament, you can trace this record of the birth of the Messiah through. And the fulfillment of that word brings great joy. You know, the angels in heaven knew about this word long before it was written. Long before the Old Testament prophets began to pen it, the angels knew what the plan of God was, and now in anticipation, they rejoice that it's happened. And yet, the other thing I think we learned that's significant about this response is that the other bystanders, this birth produces a variety of responses. So what we see here is in Jesus, Luke wants us to know that both heaven and earth come together. The angels come from heaven, speak to shepherds. The shepherds go and verify the news. The news has been shared and proclaimed, and there's shared joy amongst the angels in heaven and people on earth who believe. This corporate response that takes place all around the birth of Jesus, Luke wants us to understand the significance of that. But in the midst of all of that is one other response. It's the response of Mary. In verse 19, but Mary. Now Luke wants us to know in this little text here that there's a completely different contrast to Mary's response than that of the corporate crowd. But Mary, it says, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. What do we learn about Mary's response? Well, in contrast to the announcement and the proclamation and the sharing and the mutual joy, there is a deep reflection taking place in her heart. Now remember, she's a teenage girl. And she's given birth to a Christ child, never having relations with a man before. A miraculous conception, a normal birth, the ongoing contemplation of these events. Luke wants us to enter into the mind and heart of Mary and understand how she's responding to this. This reflection is described, he says, not only is something she's treasuring, all of these things, that is the response of the shepherds, you know, who tell about the testimony of the angels, and they come and verify and share that news with her, and then they go back, shepherds of all people, and they begin to share the news, and she's pondering all, she's treasuring it, but it says pondering them in her heart, and this word pondering is another word that even goes deeper. She's trying to get her arms around the whole event. I mean, she's the center of it in many ways, humanly speaking, and yet, even though she's been sent in the center of all of it from the beginning, she still is struggling to get her understanding wrapped around what's happened. It seems unlikely to me that Mary was able to put all the events together and figure them all out this silent night. Even in the days to come, we see her still struggling and wondering and contemplating about all the implications relating to this. And when she has the revelation of Simeon, which happens later on in the temple, when she comes to dedicate her child and to have the Christ child circumcised, that Simeon speaks and takes the child and it connects this child to the Old Testament prophecies. And it says there even in that passage that Mary was amazed. The
and still pondering and trying to connect the dots. And the whole point, I think, of Luke writing it this way is not to help us see that Mary successfully reflected and put it all together. That's not the point. But that she was present in the moment and struggling to figure out all that this meant. That's what Luke wants us to enter into. This struggle of Mary, not so much the success of her reflections as much as it is on their presence in her life. Pondering these matters in her heart is kind of like the same idea as mulling it over. You've done that before, right? You know, you've chewed the cud, mulled it over, and it just is elusive. You just can't put it together. You got this and this and this and this, and it's just not fully together. And that's where she's at this night. It cannot be doubted, I think, that she's an example for us from Luke's point of view of the proper response to the message of Jesus. First of all, when she heard that she would bear the child, which she said, "Let it be done to me as you will." She accepted the will of God in her life, and yet she still contemplates the outworking of that will as she cooperates with what God wants for her. So what's the significance of Mary's response for us? Well, Mary's response, I think, is the response of a faithful one. One who has acquiesced to the will of God, even though I don't understand all of its implications. That God has sovereignly chosen me, and willingly I'm participating in what it is God wants for me as I study Scripture. The future's yet unknown. Where it's all going to take me, I'm not quite sure. But I know where I stand today, I stand in the will of God for me. And so she sees these events and contemplates upon their significance. Where will it take her? What will it mean? What will it look like as her son gets older? What about his relation with siblings if she has more children? And we know that she does. I think another significance would be that even though intimately acquainted with all the events surrounding the birth of her son, she still struggles to understand all of its implications. So what would be the lesson for you and me this night as we contrast these responses, as we delve deeper into the way Mary may have related to this situation? Well, one of those I think we can walk away with for ourselves is that God is in control of these events. Isn't that true? From the beginning to this moment, God is intimately in charge and in control of all of the events surrounding the birth of Christ and the fulfillment of his word. So Luke's readers can confidently say that God can be believed. And I think that's what he wants us to walk away with tonight. One of the things, that God can be believed. When you open the pages of Scripture and you ponder the will and work of God in your life through his word, understand, you can believe in God and his word. The other thing I think we can walk away with is joy. Joy surrounds all the events. The angels call to glorify God and the shepherds pray. So for Luke's readers, he would want us to know, if he were standing here this evening with a cup of coffee in his hand and I had a chance to interview Luke, Luke would say, "Well, you know, I want all my readers down through the generations to share in the joy of Jesus coming. That's why I wrote that 2,000 years ago. I want every reader to enter into this narrative and to share in the joy of Jesus coming." They shared it. They were joyful in heaven. I got that information firsthand. And they were joyful on earth. And did you know, Jerry, heaven and earth came together in joy that night. And for every successive generation, I want them to be joyful at the coming of Jesus. I think that's what Luke would have for us tonight. And finally, if Luke were to be here tonight and were to kind of extrapolate a bit on what he wrote, from the text itself, it seems clear that he would want us to know that these are special one-time events.
God has broken into history in a special one-time event like he never will do again. And he has laid the groundwork, the foundation, for the salvation of man. Luke would want us to know that God's hand is actively and uniquely engaged in the work of God. Just as the heavens rejoice, so should the earth, he would tell us. Jesus the Savior, not Jesus the peacemaker, not Jesus the tolerant lover, not Jesus, not the no-judgment Jesus, not the look the other way Jesus so you can go ahead and sin. Jesus the Savior has been born. He will save his people from their sin. Mary contemplated that night. It shook her world. It rearranged her paradigms. It got rid of some prejudices. It raised a lot of questions. She was never the same again. Tonight, before we